This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A former Treasury Secretary moved markets today by doing absolutely nothing. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Japan's business newspaper went with what it thought was a scoop today, claiming Lawrence Summers will be President Obama's pick for Federal Reserve Chairman. But the White House said no, the president has not decided. On Fridays, we check in with Chris Lowe, Chief Economist at FTN Financial. Chris, investors acted on that Summers headline?
The bond market sold off right away. It wasn't a huge drop, but it pushed 10-year note yields up close to 3%. That put downward pressure on stocks. And it took half an hour for the White House to get that denial out. But when it did, everything rallied right back to where it started.
Experts reading the tea leaves here suggest that Summers, the controversial former Harvard president and friend of President Obama, has the inside track for Fed chair, but the lobbying goes on for others.
Well, that's right. There was a letter sent to the White House yesterday, signed by 400 economists pushing for Janet Yellen to get the job. It's noteworthy that also yesterday, the Washington Post learned from a source at the White House the president is going to name two women to fill empty spots on the Fed board, which leads me to think he's still leaning towards Summers.
Chris Lowe at FTN Financial. 5 years ago this weekend, I watched the Wall Street folks on the train from Manhattan, their faces drawn, battle-weary, to the point that a Civil War photograph came to mind. The Titan of Wall Street, Lehman Brothers, that day had gone bust. This ushered in the great financial collapse. We've been looking at this from a variety of angles this week, from subprime fraud in American neighborhoods and beyond. Now Europe, where entire economies were to go bust. Marketplace's European editor Stephen Beard covered this in real time, and I wanted him to explain why this hit such disparate economies as Ireland, Iceland, and Latvia.
Because by then, U.S. and European banks were borrowing from and lending to each other on a very big scale. Louise Cooper, a financial analyst, says the Lehman bankruptcy absolutely paralyzed the market for credit.
A big player was allowed to go bust. So instantly everyone thought, well, who's going to be next? Who else should I not be dealing with?
And like the US, Europe had been on a debt binge. So when the tap was suddenly turned off, many European economies teetered on the brink.
Many, but if you had to say, Stephen, which European economy was the worst hit?
It's a toss-up, really, between Iceland and Latvia. Iceland was the most indebted. Its three main banks went bust 2 weeks after Lehman's, and between them they owed an amount 10 times the size of the Icelandic economy. The currency crashed and unemployment leapt to 10%.
Now, the International Monetary Fund and some of the other Nordic countries came in to bail Iceland out. Would you say it's recovered now?
Well, it's stabilized, and with its cheaper currency, it's been able to help itself by exporting more. But there are big social scars. Former finance minister Jón Baldvin Hannibalsson says most people in Iceland have seen a big slump in their living standards. Iceland, he says, is not a happy country.
This is reflected in our public discourse, which is poisoned. It is very confrontational, very aggressive.
So that's Iceland. What of Latvia? It was, in many ways, hit even harder than Iceland.
Yes, and for political reasons, really. Unlike Iceland, Latvia did not let its currency crash. It kept it pegged to the euro because it's so desperate to join the eurozone. Instead, it swallowed a huge dose of austerity, and its economy shrank by 20%. Former British ambassador to Latvia, Ian Bond, says that's led to a big exodus of young Latvians.
I mean, there will certainly be parts of the country where you will be hard-pressed to find large numbers of working-age people because they will be in the UK or Denmark or Sweden or wherever they have gone in order to make a living.
But many Latvians and Icelanders don't blame the Lehman collapse for the crisis. They blame their own banks, business people and politicians for allowing the credit boom, which made them vulnerable.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
We're on the brink of the fall TV season. These days, networks treat their new offerings like contestants on some cutthroat reality show. If the first few episodes don't get ratings, you're fired. But it wasn't always like that. Marketplace's David Weinberg explains.
Remember Where's Everett, where Alan Alda finds an invisible alien baby on his doorstep? Or the show where the cop is killed in the line of duty, but then...
he's reincarnated as a streetwise bulldog in Puchinsky.
Those are real pilots that never got picked up. Veteran TV producer Lee Goldberg says networks used to air a lot of their pilots.
They didn't want to spend, you know, $1 million on an hour of television and not get at least something out of it.
Today, networks can spend millions on a series and still cancel it after two or three episodes, like 666 Park.
It just was clear that it wasn't going to build the audience that they were expecting, and it's gone.
Chris Mills represents TV writers. He says networks still rely on the old-fashioned Nielsen ratings that count who's watching on actual televisions. Though the networks are starting to count DVR'd episodes, too. The downside to canceling a series so quickly, shows that take time to find their audience don't get a chance. I'm David Weinberg from Marketplace.
In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.